In this week's episode, I sit down with Loris. For the longest time, she wasn't sure what her passion was.
How would you know what you want to do for the rest of your life when you're 18 years old? The only thing I could do was cry.
But a few compliments from strangers on some jewelry she made sparked something in her.
Then I thought, I can do this. I can start my own jewelry brand. I still had my side job as a sales assistant, and I made in one day on that launch day what I made in a month there.
Today, she is the founder of the successful brand Lori Lori.
There's a difference between talent and discipline, and you don't need talent, but you do need discipline.
Hello, my lovely people. My name is Bibi Jane, and this is the podcast for and about people in their 20s that are trying to beat the algorithm of life. Today, I'm sitting here with someone that took a bold strive a while back to quit law school and pursue one of her dreams. And she's the founder of Lori Lori, a jewelry brand that has sold for over 25,000 pieces already. And she's 21, but I feel like she's only getting started. And I'm really curious today to dive into her journey up until now and how that's been for her, the ups and downs, and to get to know the person behind the brand a bit more.
I am so excited to be here.
Me too. Oh my God. Okay, let's see. Let's start like at the beginning. Like, who were you as a kid? What did you want to become when you were a kid?
That is such a hard question for me because I feel like I never really knew who I wanted to be and what I wanted to be. Of course, I had these phases. I wanted to become a model. And then, because I just love being in front of a camera, so I was always posing, throwing a duck face, even if I was 4 years old. I didn't care. I just always wanted to be in a picture, but that was just for a short time. And then when I got a bit older, I wanted to become a pilot, but that was also just for a very short time. And my dad tried to get me a pilot, to get me hyped again, but that just didn't work out, and then I just felt lost. When I was in high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to be, who I wanted to be. I had no clue. I really didn't know a thing. And that feeling just stuck with me until I found out my brand. I really didn't know. I didn't know.
I mean, it's of course really weird how we are kind of, we have to make this decision at sort of young age to kind of decide what we want to do.
Yes, you have to be 18 and you have to decide what you want to do for the rest of your life. And that is something that I think is crazy because you have to work until you're almost 70. How would you know what you want to do for the rest of your life when you're 18 years old?
100%.
You don't. It's impossible. And for some people, it is very obvious. They have this purpose in life and they discover that at a very young age, but for me it wasn't the case, and I think that that's the same for so many people.
Yeah, that's why I love asking that question, because I think there's not a lot of people that have stuck with what they wanted to be as a kid. Of course, as a kid you don't know what's really out there, and
when you exactly
but even at 17, like I mean I flipped through a book of like all the career opportunities that there were, but like at the end of the day, it's pretty basic, right?
Like, it's pretty basic, and it's just so hard to choose a study because it's just all, you just either become a doctor or a lawyer. It's not, there are just not many choices, actually, if you really think about it. There's not.
Yeah, that's true. How did you end up on law? How old were you when you made that decision?
I was 18, and honestly, it could have been anything else. The decision was made randomly. I just really didn't know what I was doing. I just thought, okay, I have to study something, because a gap year, that wasn't in the books for me, because my parents said, okay, if you take a gap year, you're not going back to school, so we're just going to continue. And then I thought, okay, what am I gonna do? I really don't know. And I thought, okay, law seems fun because you have these Netflix series and it seems cool to be a lawyer and be being a boss girl. But yeah, it just didn't work out for me. It was not something that I liked. It was just something, a decision that I made because I had to make a decision. that's all. It could have been anything. But as soon as I started the study, I immediately knew that I made a very bad decision and that I just couldn't do this.
I like how you mentioned the Netflix series. I think like a lot of times when we start a study, I think we have a misconception of how the job will actually be. And then during the study, you kind of realize like, oh, this is actually different, you know? I wish we could like spend a day with someone that is doing something in that field to kind of get a feel out of it. Because I think, yeah. I mean, now we have people that like vlog, like you have like police officers that vlog their day and you kind of get a better picture at it.
It's crazy because on Netflix and even in these vlogs, these jobs are being romanticized. And I know because I vlogged some time about my brand and you just barely show the downside of things because I'm not the person that wants to record myself while I'm crying and having a mental breakdown and the stress that I'm experiencing. And I think a lot of people have that. So I think that it's very, very hard to understand what a job is about before you actually get into it, because it's always been romanticized, yeah. Whether it's Netflix or a vlog. I just think it's just nothing what it will be like.
Yeah. And you said that when you started the study, you already kind of knew like, oh, this is not the right decision for me. This is not what I wanted to do. How did that feel? Did you continue for a while? Did you think it was going to change?
Well, it was COVID at the time. So I didn't have the student experience. I didn't have a lot of friends because it was hard to meet people. I had a few girls that I spoke with, but it was just hard to get into that student life at that moment because all I did was study from home, and that is not ideal. And then I opened my books and I really tried to make the best out of it, but it just wasn't for me. I just kept reading and reading, and all I did was reading. Literally all I did was reading 24/7. And some people like that, but I didn't like it at all. And it was just so much. And just, I didn't have a social life at that point because you didn't go to school, and it was just very hard. So all I saw in these months that I studied it was a book that was my best friend. And that was just so pathetic that I thought, no, I cannot do this. But at the beginning, because I already felt that this was not for me in the first week, but I thought, no, I'm not a quitter. I cannot do this. I cannot quit. I can't do that because that's just really not in my blood. And I never gave up onto something. So I just couldn't do that. And I didn't want to disappoint my parents. So I thought, okay, I'm just gonna push through this. And it's only 3 years. That's literally what I thought. I thought, okay, I'm gonna be finished when I'm 22. And then I can just move on with my life and do something fun. But I'm such a drama queen, and there came a point where the only thing I could do was cry. And it's so pathetic when I say that, but it's just who I am. So I just cried and cried, and I thought, no, I cannot do this. 3 years is actually pretty long, and I cannot do this. So I decided to quit, and that was a very hard decision because I didn't really have a backup plan. So the crying wasn't alone because I quit and I'm not a quitter, but also because I didn't have a backup plan and I felt devastated because I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And that was very sad to me. And then I had to bring it to my parents. And I remember that I didn't want to tell my dad because I was so afraid of what he was going to say. So I didn't tell him immediately. I told my mom, and then a few weeks later, I finally had the courage to tell my dad. And I said, okay, I quit law school because it's COVID, and I just really think that I'm getting depressed if I keep going like this. And I will continue my study next year. And that was obviously a lie, but I thought I just had to find a way to give them some peace with it and that they are okay with it. But it was definitely not an easy decision to make.
Wow, like even goosebumps, because I really relate to the idea of being so frustrated of like not knowing like who you are and what you want to do and feeling like you don't have the space to explore that because you're so drawn into this thing that you're doing full time. You have this study that you might find a little bit interesting, but you just know in your heart that this is not it.
Exactly.
But how do you know what else you want? You know, I'd search the, like, the internet, and I'd be like, maybe I can find something else that I like to do, or like another study, like, okay. But that wasn't the way to do it either. Yeah.
It is so hard. It's just, it is so hard to really find your passion. It would, ideally, it would just be thrown at you that you accidentally find it out. But that's just not, that for me, that wasn't the case for a very long time. And I just think that you have to try out so many different things and then you will find out. But you just cannot say, okay, I'm 18 and now I know what I want. That's just not how it works. But that's how society wants it to work, because you have to make that decision when you're 18.
Yeah, and it's also like, how do you experiment and find what you like to do? You know, like, how do you create the room for that? And that's a tough one, you know, because I thought like, okay, what if you just jump from study to study or something? But that also costs money and that also costs time. And when you're 18, you feel like, oh my God, like I need to like finish or have this figured out by 21 or 22 or 23. Cause then, you know, then I'm 20 and then I'm going to go through my 30s. So
yeah,
there is this weird pressure at the same time to not give you that space, but that space is exactly what you need, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's exactly what you need, but what you don't have.
Yeah.
And that is terrible.
Yeah. If you look back at now, like the way that you told your parents about this, would you do it differently now?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know that my mom always supports me no matter what. With my dad, it's just always been different and more difficult. He even recently told me, I cannot tell you that you made the right decision. I can only tell you this over 20 years, because now he doesn't know if I made the right decision. So it's just always, with my dad, it's always been more difficult. And sometimes I think it's a bit, I can get a bit sad about it. But on the other hand, it also motivates me, because then I want to prove myself right. It's not about proving him wrong, but it's always about proving myself right. So it also motivates me, but it's just, I don't think that I would have done it differently.
I think it's also, we're experiencing a generation shift, I think, when it comes to career, because I can understand that our parents don't understand how much opportunity the internet has opened for us and how it's made certain things easier and it's opened up a lot of these doors, because maybe they haven't had that, you know, like yeah. Their way to success or their way to open opportunities was through school. And I still believe that that is still a thing for a lot of people. But if you have it in you and if you see a chance, it's like, yeah, I can understand that it's maybe harder for them to understand.
Yeah, for me too, because it's, and just like what you said, I think that school is the move for a lot of people, but if you see a way out, school isn't the only possible way to go to chase your dreams, because to start a brand, to start a business, I don't think that you need school for that. Yeah. I don't think you do.
Yeah.
And that's for a lot of different things. Like, athletes don't need school too. It's not the only way to get where you want to be.
Now, when you told your parents and you quit, what was next? Were you already building your brand? Was the idea already there? Were you even thinking about ever working for yourself? Like, was being an entrepreneur something that was on your mind? Was it in your family?
It was not something that was on my mind, but I think that deep down, I always knew that I wanted it, because I don't like other people telling me what to do, and it's terrible, but I genuinely enjoy my own freedom. And I just don't like people telling me what to do. And it was just nothing for me. So I think that deep down, I knew that there was something in me that wanted to become one, but to become an entrepreneur. But at that point, I didn't really know yet. But when I quit law school, it was COVID, so I already was bored, like everyone was bored, and I already started making jewelry. I switched jobs. I worked at a grocery store, and then I became a sales assistant for a luxury fashion brand, which I already liked more because I wanted to be more creative. And I also started a course where I could become a personal stylist. So I was really exploring myself and what I liked, and that was just more the creative side. But I started making jewelry, and I started wearing it to work, and some customers from that brand started to compliment me on my jewelry. That was the moment where I thought, okay, strangers compliment me on something that I made, and a compliment from strangers, that means so much to me, because they don't owe you anything. If they tell you that, they genuinely mean it, because what's the use of it? So that was the moment where I realized that I thought, okay, maybe this could be something. And then I thought, I can do this. I can start my own jewelry brand. I'm just going to make some cute designs. I'm going to start with, I think I had 15 designs, 2 or 3 necklaces and matching bracelets and some earrings. And I thought, okay, I can make this in bulk. I can do that because I don't have anything else to do right now. So I can do that. And then I'm just going to open a website, and that's what I'm going to do. And that was such a small moment, but it turned into something very big. So sometimes you don't really need, it doesn't have to be something big to find your passion. It can be in the very small things. And for me, it was that, just these compliments from strangers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How did you even learn how to make jewelry?
I used to make jewelry when I was little with my mom and my grandma, and I still had that beadbox, and I found it, and then I just started making jewelry again. And the fun part is that my mom had to explain me how to do it, because I didn't know how to close them, you know, like attach the clasp and that stuff. And she explained to me, and we made some jewelry together for a day, and then I just got it, and then I just went with the flow, and then I started wearing it myself, and it was good quality, so I thought, let's go.
Yeah, that's really smart. So then you open a website.
Yeah.
And did you like plan a launch, or were you just like secretly gonna put it online, and if people asked, you would refer them to that?
No, I think the moment I started, I didn't have a clue what I was doing, honestly. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew how to make jewelry, but I didn't know anything about e-commerce. But I just started scrolling on TikTok, and you have these tips and tricks. And a woman said on TikTok, she said, you should warm up your audience. So make some social media channels and just already start posting, and then give them a launch day. So that's what I did. I just started posting on TikTok, I think a month before we launched. So I already had a lot of followers before launch day. I think we had 2,000 followers, which was enough for me to start.
And what were you posting? Was it behind the scenes?
Yes, behind the scenes and just videos of my designs. TikTok was very easy back in the days because there weren't many creators at that point. So I just show my designs, and that was it basically, and how I made them, and it was just very easy back then. So that was what I did, and on Instagram we had gained 500 followers, which was fine, but enough for me to launch. So then I launched, and I just couldn't believe it. I think it was a Friday because I still had my job back then, so I wanted to be able to work on it on the weekend to just get all the orders shipped out and make the jewelry, because everything was made to order back then, because I didn't think much of it. I thought, okay, I just want 2 sales on launch day. That was what I wanted. I thought that I'm just happy because if just two strangers buy my product, then I'm just very happy. But there just came in a lot of orders and it was crazy. It was crazy. I sat on my laptop in my room and I didn't want anyone to be around me because I thought, oh, I'm gonna fail. That was the first thing. And then I felt ashamed a bit. I don't know why, but, and just everyone had to leave. So I was just sitting there on my laptop and I just pressed online to launch the website. And then it went live and there were a lot of people on the website and a lot of orders came in and I just couldn't believe it. So then I yelled at my mom and I said, come in because now you can come. And she came and we were both just shook. It was crazy. It was really crazy because I still had my side job as a sales assistant and I made in one day on that launch day what I made in a month there. So that was crazy and not something that I expected, but that was for me the moment where I also realized, okay, this is what I'm gonna do and I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna give this my all and this is what we're gonna do.
This is like super amazing. I feel like I'm like in the room with you, with your laptop there.
Yeah.
Trying to look at the sales and see them all come in. I also loved how you said two orders from strangers. Because yeah. I remember when I launched my brand, it was like, okay, like my best friend might order something. And I love her for that. But if a stranger orders something, like that's huge, right? Wow.
Yeah, that's just a huge difference. Because if you have the right friends and you surround yourself with the right people, they will always support you. And I'm very grateful for that. But when a stranger purchases something, that's just, to me, it feels like a stranger trusts you. And to me, that's huge because they trust me with their money and that they get a product that they love. And that is huge for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was your mom's reaction to all of this?
I think that she couldn't believe it. I don't come from much wealth, so she was kind of shook. My parents never spoke about money, so she didn't really know what to expect. And when she saw that number, she was like, what? How is that even possible? And of course, she felt extremely proud, but I think that she was just shook, and so was I, and just everyone was shook. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But my mom at that point, she felt like I made the right decision to just drop out of law school. And it was like the brand just existed for one day, so it was not long enough to jump into conclusions. But it was just, she thought, okay, I think that she made the right decision and this could be something, and she is happy and she obviously likes this. So for me, it's now we're good. I think that that's what she thought, yes.
Amazing. I bet that over the time the brand has evolved, but what do you think has made it so special? What do you think makes Luri Luri special?
I think the branding, definitely. I feel like people feel like they are part of a community, which I think is so important. Whenever I buy from a brand, I always feel like I'm just a customer. But I think that if you buy from Luri Luri, you're not just a customer. You're not a customer to me. I love to make exceptions for you. I want to do everything to make you happy. And I also love to interact with my customers. I am the one in charge of my social media and I could easily source it out, but I don't want to do that because I want to talk to you and I want to see and review the feedback that I get. And I just want to connect with you. I want to know if you're doing well. That's just who I am. And I have customers that I just talk to through direct message on Instagram on a daily. And we just talk about everything. And for me, that is just so important because I genuinely care about you. And it's just, to me, it's so important that everyone feels welcome and that it's just a warm community. That's just very important to me, and I know that they also just appreciate that.
Yeah, that's really huge. I think one thing I've been hearing a lot in the e-commerce space is that people don't want to buy from brands, people want to buy from people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
But that's just really true. But also it's just so fun. I just genuinely like talking to you, and I just want to know what you're up to and if they have any feedback. I also like to take customers' designs into consideration. Like, we have created designs that were actually designed by customers, and they just love that. They love being taken into the process of creating jewelry, new items. And I think that that is not so common for brands. There are some brands that do it too, but just not too many. And I think that customers just really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. Now, if we go back to that launch day, did you even sleep at night to the next day when you were shipping out items? Or were you already shipping out items at the
moment? I were already shipping out items, yeah. Because I just couldn't wait. I was so excited. So I thought, no sleep. Yeah. Let's work.
And what about your job? Did it immediately think to you, like, when you saw that number, like, okay, I'm quitting today? Or did that take some time?
No, that took some time, because at launch day, I knew that I wanted to make something out of this. So for me, it was never like, oh, I made that much money, into my bank account it goes. Never. I never did that. I'm still not doing that. I just want the brand to grow. So I thought, I'm going to keep my job and I'm just going to work, and that's what I'm being paid by, but not from the brand. All the money from the brand stays in my business, and that's it. But we came to a point where the brand just grew so much, because Instagram introduced Reels, and that's when the brand really took off.
Which year was this? When was launch day? 2021?
2021, yes. And but I think that they introduced it by the end of 2021. Mm-hmm. Reels, yeah. And then the brand just grew a lot, and it came to a point where I couldn't do my job anymore, because if I wanted to continue doing this, I had to give it my all. So I decided to quit my job, which was very scary, but something that I felt was necessary to grow the brand, because I didn't work that much. I worked 3 or 4 days a week, but it was just too much, because that just didn't work with my brand. So I decided to quit and just focus on Lori Lori. And I gave myself an ultimatum, and I said, okay, you got a few months to make something out of it, to double the revenue. And if that's what's done, then I don't have to work again. And yeah, I made it come true. So that was what I dreamt of at that point, and I was just very happy.
How much time did you give yourself for that goal of doubling the revenue?
I think that I quit in September, and I gave myself till the end of the year. So it was a few months. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, because not only is the brand successful and are people buying and it's growing, but it's also like you also found what you love. So exactly. That combination is probably such a good feeling.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, I really found my passion, and I thought, okay, now I know what I wanted to do. And it also gave me a bit of a purpose in life, as cringy as that sounds, but it really did, because now I'm doing something that I love. I don't ever feel sad because I have to work. Being an entrepreneur, you just always work. That's just how it goes. But there's not a single moment in my life where I'm like, oh, I don't want to work. So that's a good thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Before we continue with today's story, I want to tell you a bit more about the Social Hub. So they're formerly known as the Student Hotel, and I'm here today at their Amsterdam City location, but they actually have locations all across Europe, and they're kind of like a dynamic hub where people come to meet, to work, to have a drink, have a snack, maybe stay the night, or maybe stay the whole year. Thank you, Social Hub, for letting me record my podcast in these amazing spaces. Now back to the show. Now, you already mentioned two things, branding, customer service, and what came to my mind is like, how do you get good at something like that if you haven't studied it or if you haven't experienced it before? Even social media, I mean, you said that at this point, Instagram Reels was taking off. Like, where'd you get the knowledge to get good at these things?
I think that you just grow as you go. And I obviously read a lot of books and just did my research, but I just think that you can only learn something and get good at something by doing it. That's where you really learn how it's done. And obviously I made some mistakes at the beginning and I forgot a lot of things because I was building a real business, which I didn't know when I started out. So for example, bookkeeping, I wasn't the best at it at the beginning. I always kept track of my expenses and my income, but then I had to find my tax report and I was like, what is this? How am I gonna do this? And I really didn't know. I didn't know what to do. So I thought, okay, this is the right moment to call an accountant and get this done because I don't know how I have to do this. And then he fixed it and that was good. But that is something, you just never know what to expect when you start something that you never did before. So I don't think that you'll ever be ready. I don't think that I could ever make myself ready and prepare myself for the things that were coming. I just think that by doing it, I just got good at it. Even with the customer service, at the beginning, I also didn't know what I was doing. I just thought, okay, I'm just gonna be kind and kind, 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 sweet. And that's just, that was how I wanted to do things. And now I'm still sweet and kind, obviously. But there's just more structure in it. I just realized that if I put structure into everything that I do, like post one feed post, post one reels, two TikToks a day, that's my structure. And that's, I don't know, I just implemented structure into everything that I did. And that just made a huge difference to me. I think that you just have to do it and you will get good at it. Just read about it, read articles, look on TikTok. There's so many things to find, and just read books. And that's actually how I did it. And when the brand grew a lot, I obviously hired a lot of people that could do some things for me that had a lot more knowledge than I had on several subjects, such as advertisements. I didn't know. I looked at Facebook Ad Manager and I thought, okay, what is a ROAS? I didn't know what it was. So I thought, I'm not gonna do this. And I also believe that you don't have to be good at everything that you do, but just know that you're not good at it and ask for help. That's also very important. But yeah, you just grow as you go. That's literally what I always say. It works, and it's just, you just have to start. It's never the right moment. Just start and you learn.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's like a combination of, like you said, like gaining knowledge from things, but also applying it. And sometimes it not working and having to like figure it out. Like when I think of, for example, of websites, like people were like, how do you start a website? I'm like, I don't know. Just you pick one. I pick Shopify and you start. And then you bump into a bunch of issues because there's always going to be an issue. And then you have to Google it and go and find out what the fuck's happening. And it's just a constant of that. And it's always going to be a new problem and a new thing you need to solve. And
it never ends. So you just have to try. And exactly what you said, for a website, I just picked Shopify and I just DIY'd some sort of website. And when I look back at it, I find it very funny because when I look at my website now, I'm like, what was I thinking? Even the picture on the landing page, what was I thinking? And it's just, you just learn from it, because now I would never do that like that again. And it's just, you just need to read a lot, learn a lot about it and implement it in your own business. Yeah. The knowledge is free. You don't have to buy a course. That's one thing that I want to say, because you do not have to buy a course. Everything can be found for free on the internet. And if you cannot find it, please contact me because I will help you for free, because it's all out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's about staying curious and like really looking up the answers for yourself and reaching out for help if you really need it. Regarding hiring, I mean, I feel like a lot of people's first hire is that accountant, right? Because like, Yeah. I don't know why, but they don't teach it at school. At least I didn't go to like economic school. So yeah, to me as well, like looking at the tax thing was like, this is what I have to do every quarter. Like, you're kidding. Like, no way. So you have someone that does your accounting, your ads, you have someone else. I've seen some people create content for you as well.
Yeah, I have a fulfillment center right now, which was really necessary because I just couldn't do it myself. I was, before I had my fulfillment center, I went on vacation, and I didn't go on vacation for a very long time, so I treated myself to go to Ibiza for a week, and I came home and there were just so many orders to pack. I think it were 150 orders, and that was in the beginning of 2022, I believe. And I came home and I was relaxed, and then I saw these orders and I was very thankful, but I just thought, okay, I'm just completely stressed again. So that was the turning point for me, and I said, no, this is not working, because I don't have a life like this. It was constantly work, 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 and it didn't matter what I was doing. I had to work before or after. I just couldn't give myself a break ever. So that was when I hired a fulfillment center, which really fitted my approach, because normally a fulfillment center works with robots and they just, you know, they just grab it with robots and then pack it. But that was not how I wanted it to be. So I work with a fulfillment center that, where you have your own stand with the same people that pack your orders each day. So it's very personal. So this way I can provide custom packaging and just my pink packaging and just everything that I find very important. So that was very important for me. And that is just, when hiring people, it's just so important to look for something that really aligns with you. But that's my fulfillment center. I have a PR agency. They do just everything press related, public related, influencers. And I do have two employees. One is, she helps me with quality control, TikToks, just basically an assistant, because she just does whatever I do and that's it. And then I have an art director, and he does the photo shoots and the stories and email marketing. He's just very good at it and he's very creative, and I thought that that was something that was very necessary for the brand to grow, because I've been doing this for a long time now and I just wanted a fresh breath of air in the company, and he really did that, so I'm very thankful for both of them. But that was really necessary. Yeah,
super amazing. Regarding social media, the other day I noticed that you got 50,000 followers already on Instagram. That's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
what was you said something about you were posting, I think, twice a day, but what was kind of the thing, what was your schedule around social media, and how do you think it grew to what it is?
I know that video is very trending right now and you just have to implement video, but I just loved photos, so I just want to implement that in my strategy. So I just post one feed post each day, but then I had to give into the video trend, so now we're also posting one video each day. And I just think that it is important to first be yourself always, and second, to educate people or to give them something to talk about. And that is something that really works for me. Sometimes it has to be a little bit controversial. For example, people love to talk about the gold or silver difference and whether I'm a gold or silver girl. They love to discuss that about me in the comments, and you just have to find a way to just implement that into your strategy. Just find something that people love to talk about. They also feel like they are part of a process then, and that's just what people love, and that is what made the brand go viral many, many times, I think.
What's your most viral video? Or one of the most?
I think that my clip-on earrings, they always go viral.
Yeah, because these are earrings that you can put on without having a piercing, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly. That just always goes viral, but that is pretty hard sell because it's zoomed in on the ear. And so I find that content a bit boring, but it works because it's really a solution to people. So if you want earrings but you don't have a piercing, then they like it. So it works. But I love to educate people on whether they should wear gold or silver with their undertones and stuff like that. And that is, I think, recently the most viral video that we currently have, I think. But I'm not sure. It could also be the clip-on earrings. But on Instagram, our brand goes viral pretty easily, if I may say so. There are a lot of videos that have over 1 million views, which is crazy to me. But yeah, it just works very well for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do a very good job at that. I think regarding pictures and videos, I think pictures is like, it's very like, usually like art directed and it's aesthetically pleasing. And in videos is that as well, but it's like also, oh, there's a real person wearing this.
And exactly. Yeah. That is what I want to achieve with the videos. You always see me or my employee, which is also my best friend, so I hate saying employee, but my colleague. But you just get familiar with our faces and you just recognize the brand just by us if we pop up on your screen again. And I just think that that works very well. And also just talk about my own experience about a discoloration of jewelry, not our brand, but in the past before I founded my brand. And I think that that's just very important because it's relatable and people can learn something from it.
Yeah, 100%. We already kind of mentioned that you can't really prepare for the bumps in the road that you're going to get as an entrepreneur. But if you look back now at the journey, were there like any moments where you were like really close to giving up or moments where you were like, I really don't know how I'm going to do this? Like, for example, coming back from vacation, seeing that many orders.
I don't think that I was ever close to quitting, but there are just some challenges, but I always want to overcome them and I always think in solutions just with the fulfillment center. So I don't think that I ever wanted to quit, but that being said, there are definitely moments where I just really was on the verge of losing it because it was just a lot, and especially before I had employees, and it was just very hard. And even recently, a few months ago, I just felt physically sick. I always had the feeling, a constant feeling of vomiting, and I went to the doctor and he said, you're just under complete stress, you're just stressed out and you just have to quit, because this is just, you just have to stop, just give yourself a break now because this is not okay. And my first reaction is, and I'm not gonna quit, I'm not gonna stop, I have to work, I'm not gonna stop, like that's impossible, I'm not gonna do that. But then I went home and I had my mental breakdown and just cried everything out, and I thought, okay, it is getting too much, and it really is, because it's just taking its toll on a lot of things, on relationships, friends, just my social life, but now also my body, because my body was just exhausted. And then I realized, okay, I just have to calm down and relax. And then I just decided to give myself a small break. So I just decided to do a week of recharge, no phone after 5 o'clock. So I just couldn't work. I just started reading, working out more, did some yoga, just anything to get my peace back, because I also just felt like this is getting too much. And it's part of the job. That's what I always say. It's part of the job. You just have to work hard. But I thought, okay, this is the moment where I have to decide that I'm just going to take it slowly now. And now I'm back on track. But it definitely takes its toll on you when it is so busy and there's always people that want to talk to you. And also when you just hire people or work with different companies, they always want me because I have to approve something, and you always have to be available, always. And that is sometimes taking its toll on me, but I just learned how to deal with it.
How do you look at the future of Lori Lori. Of course, now it's almost been 2 years, right?
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
Yeah. And of course, you're still pretty young. I imagine that you want to stay in the business maybe forever or for a long time. But how do you look at that? Because even with the videos, right? Because at some point I was scrolling through your feed and I saw that, yeah, you had someone taking videos for you as well. Was it also maybe a strategic way of saying, oh, I don't think that I only want to be the face of the brand, that you want to maybe in the future have more people representing the brand? Because it's also connected to your name, right? I mean, me as yeah. well. BB Jane is my name, but BB and Jean is my brand. And sometimes I'm like, oh shit, like what happens if I'm out there? Is it still BB and Jean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm currently still being very young, obviously. So I know that I cannot create the videos forever. Like, I don't see myself dancing to TikTok sounds when I'm 40 years old. And maybe I still want to do it then, but at this point, I don't see myself doing that. So yes, I definitely think about that. But I want to do Lori Lori forever. I think the older I get, the less visible I will become on the screen. But I always want to be very present in my company and still talk to people, and because that's just one of my core values. I love that, and that won't ever change. I just want to do this forever. Like, my brand, it's just my baby. It is. And I don't see that changing ever. I just want to do that forever. I might start doing different things as well. I'm currently working on a second brand, which is a scoop, because nobody else knows that yet. I'm working on another brand because I just love being an entrepreneur, and I love just connecting with people and make them happy with my products. So I might expand, but Lori Lori will never leave. That's for sure.
Love that.
Yeah.
You mentioned products. So is it going to be another product-based brand?
Yeah, I cannot tell you too much yet, but it's going to be a product. It's going to be a wellness brand, but just nothing like other wellness brands.
Nice.
It's going to be completely different. Yeah.
That's super cool. I love to see you thrive, and I think we've talked before, and also connecting with other female entrepreneurs. You know, when I look at this, and I was showing my boyfriend as well, and I was like, you know, this is not like just a jewelry brand. Like, she's building something, you know? Do you ever feel like you weren't taken seriously because you're either young or because you're a woman, or?
Definitely. When we spoke a year ago, you asked me the same question and I said no, but that really got me thinking and it made me more aware of it.
Interesting.
And then I thought, okay, yes, I'm not being taken seriously because I'm a woman. I do have some examples. Whenever someone talks to me about my brand and they are interested in it, and we just start talking about it, there's always going to be a question, and they ask me, but who does your finances? Who keeps track of your expenses? Do you have an investor? Or where did you get the money from? Did your dad pay? Does your boyfriend pay? What makes you think I'm incapable of doing my own finances? You know what I mean? And yes, I have an accountant, but he's not going to tell me, oh no, you're not going to spend your money on that. Oh, you should spend your money on that. That's not what he does. He just keeps track of my expenses, but I'm in charge. And to me, it's just so funny because I don't think that men are being asked this question when they run their own brand. Is someone going to ask them, who does your finances? Did your dad invest? Did your girlfriend invest in this? No, they are not being asked that question. And it's funny to me because I'm being asked this all the time. It's just a regular question. And it's just so funny to me because I translate that into them thinking that I'm incapable of doing that. Maybe because I'm young, maybe because I'm a woman, I don't know. But to me, that's just crazy because I know that men aren't being asked that question.
Yeah.
it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, 100%. If you look at, for example, social media, if you'd have a young person, a guy in a fucking Lamborghini, the comments will be like, oh, like, what business do you have? Or like, I don't know, what do you drop ship or something like that?
Yeah.
But for a woman, it will either be like commenting about their looks or one of these questions, you know, like daddy's money or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's definitely not her car, because how could she be able to afford it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And also when I started looking for brands to work with to build Lori Lori, it's crazy because whenever I ask them a question or I purchase their services and something is incorrect and I just politely ask them, oh, you didn't send me this, can you send me this? Or can you fix this and this? And they're like, yeah. And then they do it and I have to wait 3 weeks and I'm still being sent the wrong file or something. And then I'm asking again, I still have to wait 3 weeks, and then I'm calling and they're just getting tired of me, and I get it. But then I have my boyfriend calling in the same tone of voice with the same question, being just as polite, and all of a sudden it can be done within a second. And that to me is crazy. And the amount of times that has happened, it's crazy. And I don't know why that is, but when I'm having a conversation with another brand and my boyfriend sits right next to me, all of a sudden a lot more things are possible and I'm just being taken seriously a lot more. And they also always assume that it's from both of us or his, and that is crazy to me.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That is really crazy. And it's crazy that I've heard these stories before from other girls that are doing things, and if they sit next to a man, it's almost like the questions are being directed to the man.
Towards them, there, yeah. Not exactly. Crazy. When I'm talking with other people and he sits there, they're just, especially when there's a man in front of me, with women it's different, obviously. But when I'm talking to a man and my boyfriend's sitting next to me, they are having a conversation. And it's almost as if I'm being left out, which is fine because we just get the job done. But in my mind, I'm just, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm the founder of the brand. And it's not that I desperately want to be taken seriously, because I laugh about this all the time. But actually, is it that funny? You know, is it that funny?
Yeah.
I don't think it actually is, if you really think about it. It's just a bit sad that it's still like this in 2023. It's sad, actually.
100%. I mean, if you think about, like you said, like you're chasing someone of an email, or you're waiting for a response or something. I feel like if a woman is like chasing up on emails or something, it's like they're being whiny. But if a guy is doing it, it's like normal, or it's hot. Like what?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It is. It like, is crazy. But I do feel that it has to do with generations, because when I speak to someone my age, they don't ever assume that a man is involved or something. But when we talk about an older generation, they definitely think that.
Yeah.
And they love to talk to my boyfriend instead of talking to me. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing amazing. And I think, you know, for your age as well, one thing I flash back to now is when you saw all that money that you made for launch day, and that was the same as you made for a month in your full-time job, that your mindset was like, yeah, but that's not my money. Like, that's just the business's money. It's going to stay in here. What age were you? 20 then? Or
no, I was 19.
19. Like,
19, yeah.
Amazing that you, like, just the thing that you had that mindset already back then it says a lot about you. Do you have advice for anyone that wants to start something, maybe especially in the product handmade business, for example? What would you say?
Just start. You don't have to be ready. Just start, because you will never be ready. We just spoke about that. It's just so important to just start. And don't give up when you don't make a lot of money or a lot of orders in at launch day, or even in the first few months. You don't have to expect that it will be easy, because it won't. I know that I'm just very lucky with how it turned out, but I know a lot of people that had to struggle the first months until they became a bit profitable. But I feel like that's also part of being an entrepreneur. So don't give up. Just keep on pushing and just give it your all and be consistent. That's all I can say. Everyone that asks me for advice on running a business, all I can say is be consistent. That's all I can say, because there's a difference between talent and discipline, and you don't need talent, but you do need discipline. And that's really what you need. It's all you need. Just stay consistent and you will make it. You can also literally sell everything. There are customers for every product. I don't care what you're passionate about, find a product that matches your passion. There will be a shitload of other people that are also passionate about it, and just stay consistent. You probably won't reach millions of people with the first TikTok or Reels that you post. You won't. And probably also not the first 40 videos. It can take a long time, but you just need that one shot, and that is going viral or something, or just an ad that performs very well. But just stay consistent and don't give up, and it will be worth it in the end.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, what I love about consistency as well is that because you keep doing it, if you have the right discipline or the right mindset, you're going to get better at it as well. You know, if we're talking, for example, me with my videos, like now, for example, things are taking off on Instagram. People are asking me, like, I want to start with content creation. How do I start? I'm like, dude, I've also been trying this for like 6 years, and it's only now. You know, it's because I got better at making videos, because every time that something didn't perform, something did, I analyzed to say, okay, what can I do better? And keep applying that thing.
Exactly.
And just all the repetition, that's why it's taken off. It's not like I had a magic formula and that worked. No, it was repetition, repetition. Keep thinking to me, even when a video did well, what did well?
Exactly.
Keep doing? Yeah.
There is not just one blueprint, and people always think that there is just one handbook that's going to teach it all. That's going to tell you how you can grow your business from 0 to 1 million. That's not how it's done. Mm-hmm. And what works for me might not work for you, but what works for everyone is just consistency. And that is just the truth.
100%.
That's the truth. There's no magic formula, like you said. There isn't any. You just have to try different things and analyze it. And in the end, it will work if you just don't give up.
Wanted to ask you one more thing about community building. Community building is so huge now, especially for brands. But what do you think makes a community? What do you think makes Lori Lori a community?
That's a very good question. To build a community, you have to connect with the customers, but customers also have to connect with each other. And one very good thing to do that is just feature them on your Instagram. And I just know that other people from Lori Lori that wear the brand constantly are going to follow each other, comment on each other. It's just, that's what builds a community. I also don't think that there's one blueprint on how to build a community exactly. I think that branding is very important to that, because like I said, they want to be part of Lori Lori, and they need to get the feeling that Lori Lori wants to be part of their lives too. And that is just by connecting with each other. And there's this other brand, Jeff Avenue. She does it perfectly, but it's also because of her face. And there are just so many ways to build a community. There's not one blueprint to do it, but just connect and show up so that they recognize you. Right now, I'm still the face of Lori Lori, so they see me and they recognize me. They want to talk to me, so they comment under my videos, and I reply to them, and then we talk in direct message, and that's just how it's done. Also give back, like give them free goodies like stickers or something. Only do that if you have the budget for it. Feature them on your website. They love that. And feature them on your Instagram. Just show them that they are being seen because they are, and just make them feel important because they are. Don't just do it because it builds a community. Do it because you actually care. And I also feel like it is so easy to see true brands that only do it because they want to build a community, because it's trending and it works. It's so easy to see through that, because if I sent you a reply or I bought this top from you and I post a story and I tag you because I wanted to be part of the community and a brand doesn't reply, that doesn't work. You just have to be true to yourself and to the brand and to your customers.
Yeah.
That's very important.
100%, yeah. And it's taking that time to actually talk to people and to actually...
Exactly.
I am really interested in, like, how this all, like, works. I know social media is a big part of marketing for you guys. You have done paid advertising on Meta. How long have you been doing that?
2 months now. How's we just going? Recently started it out. It's going okay. It's not that I'm saying, wow, I'm very happy at this moment, but because of the community, I know that a lot of these customers are coming back that bought through one ad, because we just have a very high percentage of returning customers, which is very important for the growth of a brand. So one sale through an ad usually ends up in being more sales. So if I look at it that way, then it really works out for us, but we're still trying a lot of new things because reels might not work for ads, but they do work very well organically. So it's just trying to find a way to see what works best.
Yeah. You have then the PR agencies that also helps you with influencers and creators, right?
Yeah.
And how about email? I feel like email is so unsexy, but...
Email is definitely unsexy, but for my brand, it works very well. We have a insane large email list.
Amazing.
It is crazy because we just started to gain contacts very easy through the pop-up on my website. And we just have a gigantic list, and that is just perfect. And I think that we are doing emails differently than most brands as well. We just create a story around it. So my art director creates these emails and he just makes a fun story of it. So we have these photo shoots and then we just create the cutest visuals with it and it just works. So we don't throw these products in your face or, oh, we have a sale. That's not what we do. We just create something fun of it. For example, a few months ago we went to Paris to create content and he made a series called Laurie in Paris, and we also just give out tips on cafes in Paris just to make the emails more fun and less spammy.
Emails are like a huge thing, you know. In the beginning it's like, wow, like super cool to have so many people follow you on Instagram. But emails is like for you. Like those are like, if Instagram goes away, Instagram goes away. But email will stay around forever. And it's like the way to contact your customers. Yeah.
Exactly. Because sometimes social media scares me a bit because you're so independent on it. And I always try to find ways to not be as dependent on these platforms as we are right now. But it's just basically impossible because all of the e-commerce brands just really depend on social media. And luckily we do have Instagram and TikTok right now, which are two complete different platforms. But like, you can run ads on Meta, but that's still Instagram. If your Instagram is being deleted, yeah, what do I want to do? You know, it's the same story. And offline advertising is just not it. So there are just not many solutions to that. I think that you will just, in this era, you will always be, you have some sort of dependence on social media, and mailing is a good alternative. That is definitely important, but I think that you will always depend on social media.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I'm happy that you joined here today.
I'm so happy to be here. I really enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, it's inspiring for me. And I think, I hope that you realize how like inspiring you are and also how smart you are when you talk about business, when you talk about all these things. I'm like, wow, like this.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's
it's super
so
cool. Sweet. Thank and you so I am. Much. I love this. Thank you for
me
joining
too.
Today.
Thank you so much. Oh. Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. And I'll speak to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.